So the Repurpose Conference is coming up and I'm so excited for it. It is going to be awesome. So many amazing speakers. I'm really excited to hear from Pam as well. Just the lineup's awesome that we have. But really, I mean, Repurpose, the entire conference is, I feel like it's a place for all of us women to come, to be refreshed, to be re-inspired in our lives. And I don't know, I just love the name too, Repurposed. Like when you think about repurposed, it's like I think of that thing that maybe I was ready to give up or take it to the thrift shop and I'm done with it, or I think of maybe something that I'm just not proud of that I've maybe done in my life, but I know that God can reuse that and repurpose that for His kingdom and His glory, and like I don't have to feel shame anymore, you know? So yeah, I love the name Repurposed. I'm a new mom, right? And so Daphne just turned 10 months. And so honestly, like I said, my community is just so important to us, especially being a new mom. And then my business keeps me busy. And I don't know, like it's so important to just also find time for yourself, right? And that's when I feel like I really lean on, you know, those other moms in my community to be able to be like, hey, can we get together? Can we have a day to ourselves? Let's do something. Let's go pamper ourselves. Let's go to a conference and be refueled, right? You know, like, I just feel like it's so important, especially when you're just being a new mom. It's like, if you don't have that support, it's just so important. This conference is for you. I want to invite you out on August 24th to come join us on Friday. It's going to be amazing all day, and we want to see you there. You can register online on the Crossroads app or at crossroadschurch.com. And come join us that day because you are going to leave refreshed, re-inspired, and repurposed. But right now, let's welcome up Pastor Noah.
I am so excited that my wife and so many other women from our church get to experience a day to themselves where they could get inspired and encouraged by this conference, where they get to find great friendships. Because here's the thing, over the years, I've experienced two types of friends. Friends that have hurt me and friends that have helped me. When I was in high school, I started getting involved with the wrong group of friends. I started hanging out with friends that weren't living a life that was actually leading in a great direction. I got involved in a gang. I started getting involved with drugs and started selling drugs. Eventually, that would lead to me stealing cars. And by the age of 17, I was arrested for murder. Not because I killed anyone, but because of the group of friends that I associated my life with. And eventually this group of friends would lead me to a place where I ended up finding myself in jail. I did 16 months in prison, and I eventually got out. And guess what? When I got out, my group of friends never changed. I started hanging out with the same group of friends. We would get drunk every single weekend. And when it came to God, we didn't necessarily, we weren't like anti-God, but we were just never sober enough to come to church on the weekends. And my friends didn't help me. They actually ended up hurting me. And if I continue to associate myself with the same group of friends, I would either be dead or in prison. Today, I have new friends. And I could tell you that I live a completely different life. I'm married to an incredible woman, and I have a 20-month-old little girl, Sayla Ray, and I get the privilege of leading our Spanish ministry here and our college young adults ministry here, but it's only by the grace of God that I could say that I'm a pastor today. And it had everything to do with the friends that God surrounded me with at the right time. And they've influenced me, they've pointed me closer to Jesus. And here's the thing, here's my point. Our friends have influence in our lives. Friendships are powerful, they mold us, they define us, and grow us into a certain direction. And they turn us into the people that we are today. They impact our present and our future, and they will propel you to where you want to be in life. But isn't it true that they could also have a corrupting influence on our lives? For a lot of us, this truth became real at a very young age. Think about this. There were a lot of friends that our parents hated that we were hanging out with them, right? There were certain friends, houses that we couldn't go to. Why? Because they would freak out by the lives that they were leading. And as a child, some of you guys got moved out of the city. Some of you guys got moved out of the state, and you never understood it as a child. Parents, this is why it's so important to be engaged in the lives of our children. And if you're a teenager in here, you know this to be true. Your parents are involved in every aspect of your life. And you're just like, get away from me. Why? Because they know whose house you're going to. They know what party you're going into. They're just involved. And you better be thankful that you have parents that care enough, because they understand a principle that our friends impact the direction of our lives. My friends led me to prison. Amen. But our friends matter, and healthy friendships are key to our existence and our growth in Christ. And the majority of us in here, as we look at the rearview mirror of our lives, you can share stories about the way that your friends influence your life. Some of you guys will have some positive stories. Some of you guys might have some negative stories to share. But here's the thing. Isn't it true that the first cigarette that you smoked wasn't by yourself? Isn't it true that the first drink that you drank wasn't on your own? There's a saying now that says that we are the sum of our five closest friends. What that means is that if you happen to get drunk this weekend, if you happen to go out this weekend, you know, we just celebrated 4th of July, and if you happen to be with a group of friends and you were together and you got drunk or you were partying, there's a good possibility that two out of your three friends were doing the same exact thing that you're doing right now, or that you did then at that party or at that get-together. And on a positive note, if you were out there and you were celebrating and having a good time, good chance is that two or three of your friends were doing the same exact thing. So here's what I want to do tonight. I want to take a moment, and you could open up your app if you're taking notes, and however you take notes, if you do it digitally or if you do it in a journal, this is what I want you to do. Take a moment and write down your five closest friends. Who are the people that you spend the majority of your time with? And reflect on the following. Do they elevate you, or do they bring you down? Are they people that you admire, or people who just sit around and criticize? Do they motivate you, or do they drain you? Because here's the bottom line. Your friends could be helpful, or they could be hurtful. And just take a moment and write them down. And through the message, I hope that you would be able to really reflect on the relationships that you're cultivating in your life today, because your friends will either help you or hurt you. A guy by the name of Solomon, he understood this principle so well. Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. He lived about 3,000 years ago, about 1,000 years before Jesus even enters into the scene. Some of you guys might have heard of his dad. His name is David, or you've heard of him referred to as King David. And at this point, David had passed away. And Solomon takes on the role of the king of Israel. And during his early times in leadership, something phenomenal happens to Solomon. God shows up, and he asks him something phenomenal. He says, ask me for anything, and I will give you anything you ask of me. You name it, power, fame, fortune, whatever it is, it's yours. And Solomon asked for one thing, and look at what he asked for. He says, Lord, give me wisdom. I would like for you to give me wisdom, because as I look at the complexity of leadership, as I see what it takes to lead your people, I see that there's so much responsibility that comes along with it, and I need you to give me wisdom and understanding. And this is exactly what God does. He gives it to him. Solomon later goes on and he writes 3,000 Proverbs. He was so brilliant. He was an engineer, an architect. The buildings that he built in his lifetime were unbelievable. He builds the temple of God, one of the wonders of the world. He sat with world leaders, and during his leadership, he brings an era of peace that had never been experienced in the history of Israel and hasn't been experienced since then. And now, he's Grandpa Solomon. He's at an old age. He can't go back to his 30s. He can't go back to his 20s. He can't change anything. And if you were to sit down with Solomon on the front porch, and if you were to ask him for wisdom, and if you were to ask him for counsel, this is exactly what he would say. He would say these words: "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." In other words, he's saying we could catch stupid or we could catch wisdom. And at the end of Solomon's life, the wisest man that ever lived, he was a man that was so full of regret. It was as if everything had pummeled in front of him, right before his eyes. His legacy, his fortune, everything was being taken by invaders. Israel had been pretty far from God, including Solomon. And Solomon would tell us that he had completely missed the fact that he was being influenced by his friends. And he had no idea that it would lead to so many regrets. And he tells us we could catch stupid or we could catch wisdom. I've tasted both, and wisdom is so much more helpful. This applies to everyone in here, okay? So whether you find yourself in college, or some of you guys might be tempted to think this, oh, this message, because he's the college young adults pastor, only applies to junior high students or high school students, or that's for young people. Why? Because most of us, we're so sophisticated. We've landed our careers and we're older now, and we have our degrees, and we're like, well, that doesn't really apply to us anymore. That's for young people. That's not what Solomon is saying. Solomon is saying this applies to all people. So tonight, I want to share three ways that all of us could have helpful friendships rather than hurtful friendships. Can we do that? Yeah. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, I praise you and I thank you for what you're doing in all of our lives tonight. I thank you, God, that you've created us for relationship. I pray that tonight, God, you would show us how to create great environments so that we could experience authentic friendship. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Awesome. Paul, he writes these words in 1 Corinthians 15. Point number one, choose good company. That's my first point. Okay, you could write that down. It's on your notes. So the first thing we can do to create a great relational environment is to choose good company. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says this: "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." Notice how that doesn't say good morals change bad company. No, it says bad company corrupts good morals. And what Paul's saying, he says, don't be deceived. Because when it comes to the people that we hang out with, so many of us could be misled. And in the midst of real life relationships, it could be so hard to see. And this is exactly what Solomon was trying to tell us. The person who does life with fools will eventually be impacted by them. Think about this. Have you guys ever been around certain friends that have certain phrases that they use, and all of a sudden you find yourself saying the same phrases that they say? And you're like, where did that come from? Oh man, everyone talks like that now. I talk like a lot of our young adults now. They're like, oh, this is lit and this is awesome. Hashtag, you know what I'm saying? It's just contagious. The other day, I'm sitting in my living room, and there's a word that I'm trying to stop using in my house. It's the word shoot. I say it for everything. I drop a dish, I stub my toe. I'm like, oh shoot. And the other day I'm sitting there and I dropped something in the sink and I said, shoot. And I hear a tiny little voice in the background saying, oh, shoot. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm impacting my daughter. I'm going to ruin her. No, it's true though. Relationships are contagious. And when we hang out with the wrong crowd, we begin to take on people's values. And Solomon is preaching from a place of experience. He multiplied wives that would eventually lead him astray to serve other gods. And he's preaching from experience. And what he's trying to tell us this: if we hang out with the right kind of friends, they will impact our future. In other words, if I hang out with people that are awesome with their finances, I will eventually, if it rubs off on me, I'm going to see like, whoa, look at them. Look at the way that they handle their money different. And it's going to inspire me to want to do the same. The same thing applies to marriage. If you hang out with people who value marriage and have healthy marriages, you have a better chance of seeing that become a reality in your own life. And he says, if you hang out with wise people, you tend to become wiser. And you're like, Pastor, what happened to you? Now, and if we get our friends right, they'll set us up for success in every area that matters. You know, when I started hanging out with brand new friends, I started to realize that they operated a lot different than my old friends. You know, when it came to conflict, we handled conflict a lot different growing up, okay? We would be like, come on, let's go to the alley. Let's go for a walk. We'd come back all lumped up, and that's how we'd handle conflict. But when I started having the right friends, it just made the Bible come to life, and I saw like, whoa, these people handle conflict a lot different. They actually talk about stuff. They actually address the things that are going on in their lives. And I was like a sponge, and I started taking everything in, and it was so attractive that I was like, whoa, I didn't grow up this way. This is so powerful. The same is true. If we hang out with the wrong crowd and if we get our friends wrong, it will bring more pain, more trials, and more struggles. And if you have people that don't have God as the center of their life, chances are that you eventually won't either. Women, if you're hanging out with people that are constantly speaking bad about their husbands, this tends to be contagious. Men, if you're hanging out with people that don't value women, this tends to become contagious. And Solomon is saying, don't associate with them because they will impact you. In other words, don't associate with negative people or you will learn their ways. You guys ever been around a negative person? They live by Murphy's Law. If anything could go wrong, it will. The cup is always half empty. These type of people could find something wrong with anything. They look at a puppy and they could criticize it to death, right? They tell you the weather is too hot, it's too dry. Man, the weather's been hot lately, hasn't it, church? We could complain a little bit about that because it's like, man, the sun is like right here. But man, some people in our lives, they're gossip and they compare and they're jealous and they're always in a fight with someone and they're judgmental and they're critical and they have the spiritual gift of drama. And Solomon is saying, wake up, because when it comes to your friendships, so many of us could learn their ways. And if we hang out with gossips, we could learn their ways. Proverbs 11:9 says, with their mouths, the godless destroy their neighbors, but through knowledge, the righteous escape. Look at your neighbor right now and say, we need to escape. So everyone could create helpful relational environments by, number one, choosing good company. Point number two, setting clear boundaries and not being a doormat. Point number two, setting clear boundaries, don't be a doormat. You can look to your neighbor again and say, don't be a doormat. Some of our biggest regrets could have been avoided if we set some clear boundaries. Isn't that true? Jesus, the creator of heaven and earth, God with skin on, when he walked the earth, he had clear boundaries. There was a moment where he was with a group of friends and he began to talk to them, his closest friends, and he let them know, look, I'm about to die. I'm about to go to the cross and I'm gonna pay a price for the entire sin of the world. And one of his friends tries to get in the way. A guy by the name of Peter says, no, you're not doing that. You need to stay here. Why? Because they had a misconception of what Jesus' role was when he was here on earth. See, Jesus was destined to go to the cross. His role and his mission in life was to die for all of humanity. And he had a friend in his life that was trying to get him off course. And listen to the way that Jesus responds to one of his closest friends. He says these words in Matthew 16:23. He says, but he turned, Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Yeah, some of us are hanging out with Satan. No, I'm just kidding. It says, you are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but on man's. And what we could learn from this is that there are certain relationships that can pull us away from who God wants us to be. And in this moment, Peter wasn't being helpful. He was being what, church? He was being hurtful. And Jesus had a clear focus and wasn't about to be misled by one of his closest friends. So you and I, we can learn from this. All of us, we need to have clear boundaries when it comes to the relationships that we have in our lives. But here's the thing. If you've been around the church for a while, we could be so spiritual. Why? Because we read passages like in 1 Corinthians where it says, love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Then we'll read the words of Jesus himself where it says, look, if someone offends you, turn the other cheek. And that's all true. We need to be loving and we need to be respectful. But Jesus didn't have this in mind. Okay, because I said this, then we need to play the nice guy, right? I need to just be a nice guy and go ahead and stay in these unhealthy relationships. We need to understand, yes, we need to be loving, we need to be kind, but we don't need to be a doormat. And when Jesus said these words, turn the other cheek, he didn't have the nice guy in mind. Jesus was stating something so radical. He was saying that we should always respond with love and not retaliate when we're wrong. And to turn the other cheek doesn't simply mean to be passive or to be a doormat or that we need to place ourselves in unhealthy relationships, because people will continue to treat you like a doormat if you allow it. And Jesus says, yes, you're going to live in circumstances, you're going to live in the world where people treat you bad, and the way you respond will tell people around you exactly what you know to be true about me. There's going to be moments in my life and in your life where we're offended, and Jesus says, don't retaliate. However, there are certain relationships where you're living in that 24/7, and Jesus says, no, I don't want you to be a doormat. Why? Because I care about your health, I care about your future, and I care about the relationships that you have in your life. And this doesn't mean that we don't have a spine or a backbone. What Jesus is saying that we need to have some clear boundaries, and we need to honor ourselves and respect ourselves. Why? Because some of our friendships could hurt us, or help us. Just yesterday, I was at a family gathering, and we were celebrating my grandma. She just went to be with the Lord, and it was just a beautiful celebration. My grandma was honored, and after we buried her, we had a reception at my aunt's house, and we're hanging out, and my mom was like, okay, I don't want anyone drinking, and I want to make sure that this is an honoring moment. Towards the end of the celebration, my cousins and some friends are walking in with cases of beer. All right, and they're laying it out, they're putting them in the coolers, and I think everyone's still trying to like make out like who I am, because I'm a pastor and I'm like in the gathering, and everyone's kind of looking at me like, is he real? Is he human? And someone's looking for a beer. I'm like, hey, here you go, man. You grab it, whatever, you know. But there was a moment, my cousin's sitting there, and I just watched him, because someone came up to him and said, hey man, come on, have a beer. And he's like, nah, I'm okay, man, I gotta drive. And then another person comes up, come on, bro, we need to celebrate. Come on, drink this beer. He's like, nah, man, I got to drive. It's okay. And person after person after person came up to him and said, you need to drink a beer. And like, he's like, no, man, I'm okay. And I looked at him. I'm like, good for you, bro, man. You have some clear boundaries. And he was able to say no. Clear boundaries is about that. We could say no. Let's say it together. Say no. That wasn't that hard, was it? It actually sounds awesome. We could get used to that, can't we? Let's say it again. Say no. No. There you go. Say it louder, church. No. No. Anytime you get in a situation, now you could say no. You know what? As I looked at my cousin, and it made me really think about like a lot of the places that you guys get put in. You know, you're at work, and you have your career, and after work, all of your buddies go to that restaurant, and it's happy hour, and your friends are talking about their wives, you know, the ball and chain, if she would only get her act together, and if she would only do this, then my life would be that much better, and they're talking about the women that are hardly have any clothes on, and what they want to do with them, and what they want to do with this, and then all of a sudden, pitcher after pitcher after pitcher of beer comes out, and you're in the midst of this, and you find yourself like, whoa, these friendships aren't really leading me to where I want to be. But all of your friends, we call that peer pressure today, don't we? All of your friends they're engaging you. Like, come on, man, put one down. And you know, like, man, I need to be home with my family, and I don't really want to dishonor my wife this way. And Solomon was telling us that if we continue to create these environments in our lives, that eventually they will rub off on us. And a great boundary for us to have is just say no. Right? Who do you have in your life right now that tells you to stop drinking after the third or fourth beer? Who do you have in your life right now that's actually speaking life to you? So how do I know when I need to set a boundary? Solomon says we could be misled. So how do I know? Here are some flags, all right? You could write these down or just contemplate them right now. When you're with your group of friends and you find yourself trying to be accepted every time you're around them, you should put a flag up. When you realize when I'm with this friend or this group of people, I'm not myself. And when I'm with this group of people, I really try hard to fit in. And I'm realizing that when I'm with them, I ignore certain values that I have. And I tend to compromise. And they don't bring out the best in me. When we realize that this group of friends isn't leading us into the direction that we want to be in life. And I know that for some of us, this doesn't sound compassionate. It might actually sound opposite of what you've heard us preach. You're in here and you're like, well, Pastor, aren't we supposed to engage the world? Aren't we supposed to reach people? I'm not saying that we're not to value people. I'm not saying that we're to relationally disconnect from those that are different from us. Think about this. Jesus hung out with sinners. He hung out with people that were different than him. But he was a little bit stronger than we were. And he didn't allow his friends to corrupt his lifestyle. And he was actually in a place where he's able to be helpful. And by all means, I hope that every single Christian, if you're a Christian in here, if not Christ, if you haven't claimed to be a Christ follower, I'm glad that you're here, that you're listening. But let me talk to the believer for a moment. I'm hoping that every single one of us, we're intentional about engaging people that are far from God. I hope Jesus said that I came to seek and save the lost. We need to reach lost people. And we need to be super intentional with bringing them the hope of the gospel. But here's where I want to give you some wisdom. Here's what I want to give you some counsel. Not me, but Solomon. We need to be careful that the relationships we're engaging in aren't affecting us more than we are affecting them. Does that make sense, church? And Solomon saying, I was so misled. I had the God of the universe show up and he talked to me face to face and I still got it wrong. So here's the thing. Everyone could create helpful relational environments by number one, choosing good company. Number two, setting clear boundaries and not being a doormat. And here's the last one. True friendship starts with us. So we need to be helpful and not hurtful. Proverbs 12:26 says, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Solomon is saying here that there are helpful people and there are hurtful people. And he's saying we need to use wisdom. But true friendship needs to start with us. We need to start by being good friends and reflecting on the friendships that we currently have and ask yourself this question, am I being helpful or am I being hurtful? Because every single person matters and we as believers need to be helpful and not what, church? Let's say it together. Not hurtful. And he's saying that the righteous should choose his friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. In my life, I have people right now that I try to surround myself with that actually make my life better, and they're fulfilling Proverbs 27:17, where it says, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. These people actually make me a better human being. They sharpen me. Every time I have conversations with them, I walk out feeling so encouraged and so much better. People that honor and love their words. And, give me a moment. I'm gonna grab the microphone. The friends in my life right now, they have made a decision to honor and love their wives because they understand that they have so much worth, that they understand how valuable they are, and every time they talk about their wives, this is exactly what they choose to talk about. And they understand something, that every time they go out, there's going to be beautiful women, but they have made a decision with the Lord and with their spouse to not look lustfully at another woman who isn't their wife, and people in my life right now, they're so intentional with their marriage where they sit down and they talk about their goals and where they're headed in life, and they treat each other with honor and respect. I got people in my life group right now that God has surrounded me with that help make me better. Shout out to Tyler, who's in the sound booth right now. Him and I get to come alongside each other and encourage ourselves in marriage. Shout out to Tim Roberts. He's another guy that I could come to and say, hey, I'm working through this, and he gives me perspective and brings me down to reality. Just recently, I had a friend of mine, they came to me, they said, hey, how are you doing with your time management? I see that you got all of these things going on, and you got weddings and funerals, and I just want to make sure that you're okay. And they cared enough to ask me about my emotional health to make sure that I wasn't burning myself out. And they loved me and cared for me enough to speak truth into my life. And Proverbs 27:5 says, better is an open rebuke than love that is concealed, because faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. And real friends hold each other accountable. And these friends that I have right now, we have a saying that we say to each other, well, a lot of them, we say these words, can I speak into your life? We know in that moment, because we've created a safe environment for us to call each other out, for us to make each other better, for us to compliment each other, that when we hear those words, something is coming that's going to make us better in the long haul. And they'll say, can we speak into your life? Absolutely. What do you see, brother? And they'll talk to me, and they just make you better. And church, this is the epitome of what God desired the church to be. It should be beautiful, where you could come in and say, hey, I just want to be sharpened. I want to have a group of friends where I can learn about the Lord and hear his voice. Friends that actually make my life better, and my marriage is thriving because of the people that I've chose to surround myself with. And my kids, they're thriving because I have other friends in my life that have kids right around the same age group. And we get to make each other better as parents. And God's like, that was the epitome of why I created the church, so that you could stir each other on to love and good deeds, and that you could care for one another. And that's exactly where we'll find the power of friendship. So here's what I want to ask you. How awesome would it be if you had a community of people that stayed with you through the good, the bad, and the ugly? So are you avoiding the company of fools? Do you have clear boundaries? And do you have life-giving friends? You know, this is the heart of God. Pastor Chuck started this series with a sermon called Everyone Needs Someone. We all need relationships. I want you to think about something. God, the creator of heaven and earth, when he created the heavens and the earth, he spoke them into existence. When he created the stars and the universe and the galaxies, he spoke them into existence. He was perfect. He needed nothing else to complete him. But when it came to the human race, he actually took his time, and he used his hands to create Adam. So intentional and so intimate. Why? Because God's a God of relationship, and he chose to create human beings in his image so that he could express relationship, so that he could express friendship. So much so that when he walked on the earth as Jesus Christ, and he told us these words in John chapter 15, verse 15, he says these words. This is Jesus talking, okay? He says, look, I'm changing the game a little bit. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you, what did he call us? Friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain. So that, there was a reason, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This I command you, that you love one another. In other words, what Jesus was saying, I desire intimacy with you. I desire relationship with you. Friendship needs to start with a father. And Jesus was stating some profound statements. He goes, look, I no longer want a relationship with you that's based on rules. I want a relationship with you where you can actually know me and I can know the depths of your heart and you could create a great environment so that you and I could be friends. And Jesus is the friends of sinners, just like myself, just like every single person in here. He desires relationship. He died for relationship so that you and I could have friendship with a father. So tonight, I want to ask you a bold question. Do you have friendship with Jesus? I'm not talking about just believing in him, as awesome as that is, but do you know him personally? John 17:3 says, this is eternal life, that you would know God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. Church, do you know him tonight? If you don't, a relationship with Jesus starts with friendship. What you need to do tonight is just get honest before the Lord and say, you know what? I do want relationship with Jesus. How do I do that, Pastor? You pray. You just talk to him, just like you would any other friend. When we pray to God, we're talking to a friend. We're talking, yes, he is the master, he is the king of the universe, but we're expressing relationship when we talk to him. So you pray and talk to the Father. Two things happen. You pray and you invite him into your life and tell him you want relationship. And the second thing we need to do is we need to tell someone about the relationship that we started with Jesus. So right now, I want to give us an opportunity to really reflect on the relationship that we have with God. And if you know him, praise God for you. I would like for you to do me a favor. Pray for everyone around you. But if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you're a Christian in here and for some reason you're not close to God during this time. If for some reason you think he's mad at you, I don't know what it is, but take a moment right now and I want you to know that Jesus is waiting with open arms. Why? Because he desires relationship with you. So what I want to do is I want to take this time. I want to pray, and I want to ask that God would just make himself known as a friend during this time. Father, I praise you and I thank you that you're not distant, that you desire our lives to thrive, that you care about every single detail of our lives, including our friendships. I know, Father, that there are some people here that deep down inside of their hearts, they want to be right with you. They want to honor you with their lives, but their friends are taking everything out of them. And the group of people that they're hanging out with right now aren't being helpful, they're being hurtful. And I pray, God, that tonight they would make a bold decision to take a step and make their lives right with you. That they would completely surrender to you. God, I pray for those that walked in here, Lord, and the idea of having friendship with God is foreign to them. God, I pray that tonight they would know your love and that you would just call them home and that they would realize that it's your kindness that leads us to repentance, that leads us to change, that leads us into your presence, God, and that you're a God who loves and cares about every single human being. I pray, God, that tonight you and by your Spirit would awaken their hearts and their lives. Father, I pray for those that are currently in abusive relationships. God, I pray that they would know that it's never okay. Never okay to be in an abusive relationship. God, I pray that tonight you would give them the courage and the confidence to put up a boundary and say no more. Lord, for that person that's in here and that's trying to overcome an addiction and because of the group that they hang out with, it's almost made it impossible for them to see victory in that area of their life. God, I pray that tonight, Lord, you would let them know that you see them and that you desire to bring freedom into their hearts, into their lives, and that they could be set free of that addiction. God, for that marriage that's on thin ice simply because they've been hanging out with the wrong crowd. Lord, I pray that tonight you would allow them to have the courage to stand up as a couple and say yes to you and allow you to surround them with a new family, with new friends. and that you would restore their marriage today. Right now, with everyone's eyes closed, if you're right with God, do me a favor, pray for those around you. If tonight you want to make your life right with God and you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or if you want to come back to him, or maybe you're in here tonight and you've never been baptized by your own choice, that's your next step in your relationship with Jesus. Tonight's for you as well. What I want you to do, actually, church, since this is a family affair, why don't we pray with everyone that's actually giving their lives to Christ tonight? Do me a favor, let's repeat these words out loud. Say, Father God, I know that you love me, and I believe that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die for me, to forgive me of all of my sin, and to heal me of all of my hurt. Right now I say yes to you. I ask that you'd fill me with your love and that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. I give you my life. And I pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's praise God for all the decisions.